Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abel. Gentlemen.
Good day. Increasingly, women are coming into our primary care offices with questions about genetic testing for breast cancer. What they're hearing about are ways to detect the BRCA1 and BRCA2 mutation commonly heard in the news and on the media. Both of these mutations greatly increase the risk of breast cancer and other types of cancer. We're told as primary care physicians to refer women at high risk for these mutations to a genetic counselor. But these counseling centers are not always available. The authors of this week's poem is from the journal Cancer, and the authors asked whether a simple scoring tool could help us identify high-risk women who could benefit most from a referral to a genetic counselor. Mark, is there such a tool and is it useful?
Yes, there is. And there are a number of tools, but one of the barriers has been their complexity and making it very difficult to apply that at the point of care. The authors in this study identified nearly 4,000 women who were coming in for a mammogram, and they interviewed them. They applied what's called the Gale Risk Score, which is a fairly complicated scoring system, and they took any woman who had a history of breast cancer in her family or an increased risk using the Gale score and did an additional genetic risk assessment of the 737 who underwent that much more comprehensive and detailed interview about their genetic risk. 86 turned out to be truly at high risk for one of these BRCA1 or 2 mutations. Now, they also had all of the women answer a series of simple questions that were used to calculate a score. The score assigns points for each family member with breast or ovarian cancer. And now, by family member, in this case, we mean maternal and paternal family and both first, second, and third generation relatives. The score is really simple and is something I think a clinician could actually memorize. You get 3 points for each family member with breast cancer at 50 years or older, 4 points for breast cancer before the age of 50, 5 points for each one with ovarian cancer at any age, 8 points for male breast cancer at any age, and 4 points for Ashkenazi Jewish heritage. And it turns out that a pedigree score, we'll call this the pedigree score, of 8 or more points was the best cutoff to identify women who were at high risk for one of these mutations. So if you think about a woman whose grandmother had ovarian cancer, that's 5 points. And let's say she had 2 aunts with breast cancer in their 60s, that's another 3 points each for a total of 11. This woman would be a candidate for genetic counseling. The score was actually better than the Gale score and correctly classified 96% of women as either high or low risk.
Did the research actually determine the mutation status?
No, they didn't, and that's one of the limitations of this study. They were essentially comparing it to these other more complex scoring systems that are very impractical in the primary care setting. Their goal was just to validate the simple score and see if it helped us identify these high-risk women as well. I think certainly the next step would be to look for mutation status in women with and without this high-risk score. Until then, though, I think this is probably the best, most practical tool for helping us put guideline recommendations regarding genetic counseling into practice.
And I guess the geneticists are pretty opposed to primary care doctors actually ordering the test itself, the BRCA1 or BRCA2 test.
Yeah, I think that for good reason, they want to make sure that the person delivering those results has time to really explain what that means, explain all the different implications, treatment options. Certainly, I think a primary care clinician can do it, but it's going to take maybe a little additional training and expertise than most of us currently have.
Great. Thanks, Mark. That's our poem for this week. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.